Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text I'm using today is the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, this last Wednesday was our school's Christmas program, and as I was sitting over there kind of directing it, I noticed something that I've kind of always known, but I kind of forget about, and that is that the group of kids that really have the least to do, usually, are the shepherds. I mean, you have, you know, Mary and Joseph, they got speaking parts. In this one, we had the family members of the house where Jesus eventually was born, they had speaking parts. Usually there's Angel Gabriel, he has a speaking part. There's a lot of things going on, even the angels, you know, which at our school are always the kindergartners. Even they get to, you know, run up the aisle with robes on, flapping their wings and saying, you know, a Savior is born. That's something. The shepherds are the ones that just kind of get left off. Now, granted, they get to dress up like shepherds and everything like that, but they basically just walk up here and stand, and they're just ornamental. And I was reminded of all the years that I was condemned to being a shepherd. When I wanted to be the star of the program, you know, no, you're going to be a shepherd. And no, I got to wear a costume. That was great and everything. But I just stand up there and just kind of mill around here like, you know, a shepherd, nothing to do. And so every year I knew when they called my name, that's what I was going to get. It was inevitable, just the way it was. When we look at this Christmas story here in Luke, we see a lot of things that are inevitable and not good. The first one is a census. There's only one reason for giving a census, by the way, and that's so you... It's not just because you're curious about how many people live in your country or kingdom. You give a census so you know how many people to tax. That's why people 2,000 years ago didn't like census and why they still don't like them today. And the taxes, granted, some of the taxes went to building roads, even back then. Some of the taxes went to... building aqueducts so the people would have fresh water. But the lion's share of it went to pay for the military that was oppressing them. So they're paying taxes for the people who are mistreating them and stealing from them and killing them. That's not a popular thing. But what are you going to do, right? It's inevitable. You have to pay taxes. It's just the way it is. It's the way it always will be, and it's the way it was. Then Mary and Joseph, this young couple, get caught up in this census. They have to take part in this, and so they have to go to the lineage city for both of them and their families, which is Bethlehem. Well, that's like a 70-mile trip. That may not seem like much today, but then it was very difficult. On top of that, she's probably, what, 8.5, 9 months pregnant? I mean, that's a dangerous thing. They may have distant relatives in Bethlehem, but that's about it. And they don't know what's going to happen, how they're going to do this. I mean, nowadays, giving birth can be a dangerous thing for the mother and child. Well, back then, even under ideal circumstances, in a lot of cases, the mother would die and the child would die. And so, but what can you do? They had to go down there. And there, if the child dies, it dies. If it lives, it lives. It's inevitable. There's nothing you can do about it. Well, one thing I often point out too about inevitable things, especially as I'm about to talk about the shepherds, is I showed a video to my class, elective class, talking about the, you know, what life was like in the days of Jesus 2,000 years ago, and I found one on shepherding. Unfortunately, I didn't preview it, but it was this documentary group embedded themselves with a Bedouin group in Israel, and these Bedouin shepherds shepherded exactly like they did at the time of this Christmas story. The only difference is they dressed differently. So they wore, you know, they wore tennis shoes, they wore jeans. I mean, one kid was wearing a Packers shirt. I mean, I know he didn't know what he was looking and wearing there, you know. But they were all, if you just didn't look at what they were wearing, they did the exact same thing as 2,000 years ago as shepherds. So they would lead their sheep to pasture and to water, and they would guide and protect them the same way. And, of course, as I'm watching this video with my class, having not previewed it, it comes to a part where the narrator says, and the shepherd is leading his flock to a new pasture, and then it zooms into one sheep, and it says, but this little sheep has gone astray. Unless it gets back with the flock, it will be defenseless and probably die of exposure or hunger or thirst. Or this wolf, and it pans up to this wolf who's looking down on this sheep. Well, I paused it at that point because I didn't want to see what was going to happen next, right? I watched enough Mutual of Omaha on Nature Channel to see what happens next. I never liked those shows for that, right? And I just said to the kids in my class, who can tell me what's wrong with this, what's happening here? And one kid said, well, that kid's wearing a Packer shirt. And I go, no, not that. It's just bad taste. But I said, well, what's really going wrong here? What should be happening? And one kid, only one kid, raised her hand and said, well, why isn't the director yelling at the shepherd saying, hey, you missed a sheep, he's over there, you better get him before the wolf does? I go, exactly. I mean, that's what I would do. I mean, this is not Star Trek with the prime directive. A couple people here walk Star Trek, okay? And that's it. When they come into like a different community or planet or something like that, they can't interfere with anything. And we feel the same way. I think that's why the rest of the kids in my class didn't say anything. Why? Because what's going to happen is natural. It's the way it's supposed to be. It's inevitable. If sheep got to eat, guess what? Wolves have to eat too. That's just the way it goes. The shepherds 2,000 years ago, their occupation was one that was inevitable. You needed them. We tend to romanticize the Christmas shepherds. You know, we picture them like they are on Christmas cards. You know, I've even read books saying, well, these are special shepherds, you know, the Christmas ones, because the shepherds in Bethlehem, they were the ones who took care of the sheep that were used for the temple, right? So they raised the most important sheep that were sacrificed at the Day of Atonement and the Passover, and so these are a higher echelon of shepherds. No, that's not true. They're just shepherds. And even though a shepherd was one of the main images that God used for himself, it was an occupation that was really looked down on by the people. If you came to a lot of communities, on the city gate would be a sign saying, shepherds are not allowed within the city gates. To show you how bad it was, in the temple there's actually a court for people with leprosy so they could worship. Lepers. And yet shepherds were not allowed to come and worship in the temple. Well, what are you going to do, right? Incredibly low-paying job. At times, it's incredibly dangerous, but most of the time, it's incredibly boring. Someone has to do it. It's inevitable. It's just the way it is. Well, in all this bleak inevitability, God breaks in with an angel, and the angel has a message for the shepherds, a very simple one. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And from this simple message, the shepherds can glean two things. Number one, God has not forgotten his people. When I think of the angel's message to the shepherd, I'm thinking about the same message was one that Moses gave to the children of Israel in Egypt when he came from the burning bush. He came to them and he said, look, God has not forgotten you. He sees your slavery and he's going to set you free. And that's the exact same joy these people experienced that the shepherds must have experienced hearing this good news. The second thing I think they understood that is the inevitability of life that had been weighing them down all their lives would not have the last word, that this child in Bethlehem would. And then Luke says that the shepherds say, hey, let's go and see this great thing that the angels have told us. And the very next verse is, and then they found the child. Boy, there's a big hunk of time in between there that's left out. Because there's not a neon sign over the house saying, Savior of the world is here. Okay? So they must have had to wake up half the town until they finally got to the right house. And then they got to the right house, and they knew it. Now, there might have been another child, maybe two, that were born that night. Doubtful, because the population of Bethlehem was very small back then. But even if that was the case, they would know this is the one, because I guarantee you, no one else is putting their child in a manger. And so they knew this was the place. And they couldn't wait to tell Mary and Joseph what they had seen and heard. And then they couldn't wait to go out and wake up the other half of town and tell them the good news they had seen and heard. And then at least one of these shepherds, many years later, couldn't wait to tell a man named Luke of what he had seen and heard. Because it's a living story. It's a living story because our Savior is a living Savior. It's a story about a God who continues to break into our lives that are all too inevitable and to share the good news with us of a Savior. A Savior who wipes the tears from our eyes when we mourn. A Savior who gives us hope when we're hopeless. A Savior who says, if you think the bad things in your life are inevitable, then look at me because I am inevitable too. And he points to the cross. And he says, that's where your sins are forgiven. That's where I made you my child. And that's where I promise to bring you home. I pray that this Christmas, this week, is a one of a wonderful time of fellowship and family, of gifts and joy, and especially of peace. Peace in this Savior who did break into a world of inevitability, a world of sadness and hopelessness. And he brings us a hope for us every day that we can rejoice in the peace that God has given us and look forward to a future where he will never be away from us. In Jesus' name, amen.